Hey guys, welcome back to Simply You. Be here, be real, be you with Carly Basham. Thank y'all so much again for tuning in this week. I hope y'all week has been extraordinary. I'm so glad to have y'all back too. Sundays are always my favorite just so we can kind of sit down, slow down, and catch up. So I'm super excited to get into it today. I wanted to talk about the fall off of going from a collegiate athlete to being done with their sport, because the fall off is insane and it's honestly not talked about enough. And I keep seeing girls who played at similar times that I did, and even previous college athletes that even came before me starting to speak out about just the reality check and what it's like to go from being a collegiate athlete and getting this constant praise and fame and support from all of these sponsors and fans and family and friends and teammates and coaches. And then it's like, as soon as you step away, you see none of that, right? Because if you think about it, whenever you're playing a college sport, it's constant, right? Given there is also the constant hate and negativity and critiques that are also being thrown your way. But we also can't ignore that athletes get an insane amount of praise, which, yes, they put in so much work. They put in so much energy and time into the sport, into the university to bring in the viewership, to bring in the revenue that those sports can provide, right? But it's also just crazy that there's nothing that prepares you for the fall off of leaving sports, of not being an athlete anymore. I've actually been talking with some of my friends who played collegiate sports, and they've really been struggling with similar things, how they were like, once we left the sport and once we decided to move on with our lives and try to figure out our next step and our next goal and our next career, they didn't see probably 80% of the people who were once supporting them. Just because, what, you don't play a sport anymore means that you aren't valuable, means that you don't deserve that sport, means that you don't deserve that praise and that acknowledgement that what you're doing is important. It's just crazy because as an athlete, you put so much value in what you're doing. I truly think that a lot of the value that athletes place into themselves, into their sport, comes from those external things, right? Comes from the sponsors, comes from the social media recognition, comes from the praise and the glory and the fame and the likes being thrown at you and all of this, right? But at some point, we've got to realize that how much of that is actually based on who you actually are and not just you playing a sport, right? And I think that's why it's so easy for people who play a sport to identify themselves with the sport that they play, to identify themselves as just an athlete, as just a volleyball player, as just a soccer player, as just a basketball player, right? Is because all that we're known for and all that we are praised for is our sport. We aren't praised and known for who we are off the court. We aren't praised and known for maybe the small business that you're running or the community service that you've been given back to or your scholar or your school or your education, you know? No one really takes the time to understand and know that side of you, right? All that they see, all that they know, all that they value is the sport that you play. And I really think that that is a huge reason why we identify ourselves as athletes, as what sport that we play, which then brings with you, I think that that's also why it's so hard once you step away from your sport to know who the fuck you are, because for so long, however long that you were playing your sport, you were just hearing and seeing this praise about your performance on the court, on the field, on whatever it is. And you were never getting praise over who you were as an individual and as yourself aside from the sport, right? Y'all, I even saw this too, like especially going from Washington State and just how loyal the fans were. Like the fans even still like reach out to me and just support this podcast, which means so much to me. And even like on my birthday, you know, like I had fans reach out, which was so sweet. And that just shows just how important a community really can be, you know, because they show up whenever you aren't doing the thing that you once were known for and they still are able to support you. It's just so special. Anyways, all that being said, I went from Washington State, and don't get me wrong, there are players, there are schools who bring in so much more viewership and engagement and social media presence and praise that Washington State did not, right? I mean, you look at Texas, USC, Louisville, like there's so many other big programs where those athletes are bringing in millions and thousands of viewerships and sponsorship deals and revenue and all of this, right? So there's no telling how much praise that they were already getting in general, right? I'm just going to speak from my own experience that at Washington State, from what I thought, it felt incredible to me, right? Like, I felt on top of the world. I felt so supported, so loved by all of the fans, by all of the sponsors, by all of the sponsorship deals that I was able to get. And then it was like, as soon as I stepped away from the sport, I didn't see any other, right? And it just was such a big hit to my ego, truthfully, because I left college thinking that I had so much momentum, you know, so much momentum beneath my feet to carry me through what I was now going to try to strive for, which was my podcast and my personal goals and just where I envision my next steps being. And then when I told y'all those, like, all of that momentum basically got shrubbed beneath me. Like, it was crazy. But honestly, as much as it was an ego check for me, it was also a reality check for me too, because it made me realize that I placed so much of my self-worth into my sport that I played that I didn't even know who the fuck I was outside of my sport. I really didn't know what I wanted to go for or even have the confidence to be able to go for it, right? Which was honestly so crazy too, because in my sport, I played volleyball and I was such, like, I was known for about that super fierce and fearless and tenacious player, right? And just super competitive. And then as soon as I stepped into the real world, quote unquote, I found myself afraid of so much. And that honestly was one of the biggest things that hit so deep for me, because what I had known that was true about myself was that I was this fearless person, was that I would go after anything that I knew that I wanted to go after, right? And then it was finally time to go after it, right? I was finally at a point in my life where I didn't have somebody telling me what to do. I didn't have a schedule. I didn't have a routine. I did not have a blueprint or anything to go off of, right? It was basically that the world's your oyster, go after it. And as exciting as that sounds, in the moment, that was the scariest thing I've ever felt. Because I didn't know where the fuck to start. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know who I was to even know what to go after. And I was just so stressed. I was so overwhelmed. Because honestly, that was the most lost that I'd ever felt, because I didn't know where my next step was going to be. I didn't know the direction that it was going to be towards. I didn't know what anything was going to look like. And I still honestly don't. Like, I'm honestly still just trying to put one step in front of the other and just hope that I'm going in the right direction. And I think that it's hard to do. Taking that step, it seems so simple, but truly it is one of the most frightening things to ever do, because at that point you are putting your faith, you aren't putting your hope, you aren't putting your dreams and your life in someone else's hands. You're now putting it in your own hands. And yes, that seems powerful. It seems freeing. It seems liberating. That first official moment, whenever you realize that you are in control of your next step, that there's no one else telling you what to do, that you finally have the choice in doing whatever the fuck that you want to do. It's so scary, because you finally have to come to terms with your confidence. And I think in sports, it's so easy to have confidence on the court, but off the court, whenever it comes to actually going for something that you want, you may not always have the courage to do so. I mean, even myself, like, I have been wanting to post on social media for so freaking long. And even in college, I would have one foot in, but then one foot always out, because I was so afraid of people making fun of me or being embarrassed or being cringy and all of this stuff. And I literally still feel myself doing that. And it's just so crazy, because at some point, all of that is going to go away and you are going to end up being in a room by yourself. And your life is going to be completely up to you. The direction that your life is going in is going to be completely up to you. There's not going to be anyone telling you to do this or do that or go after this. You are going to have so many options in front of you that it is going to have to take some time to sit down, slow down, and reflect, and really be honest with yourself. That's also something that was so hard for me to do, was just be honest with what I actually wanted. You know, like, I had so many people telling me, oh my gosh, you would be such a good coach. You would be such a good this and that. And every single time that they would tell me that, I would be like, yes, I probably would be a great coach, but I don't know if I want to be a coach. And every single time that I would find myself voicing that, it was always seeming like I was disappointing them, right? And then that would have me question myself and be like, oh, well, now should I actually be a coach? But then it was like deep down, I knew that I didn't want to be a coach, you know, but I just felt like I was disappointing them. And I think that is how so many of us get caught in the trap of doing things that we actually don't want to do. They may sound great. They may look great. We may get pushed and try to get persuaded to go after these things because we have the people around us who know us best. But truthfully, you are the only one who knows yourself the most, right? Yes, we have resources. Yes, we have our family and friends, and they are supposed to be there to give you advice and to help you stay on track and to help you really slow down and just come to an understanding about how you're actually feeling and what you actually want. But they should not be the dictators for what she actually wants. You should be the dictator of that. No one else should be the dictator on where you go in this life and what you do with this life. That should be completely up to you 1,000%. So if someone's telling you, oh my gosh, you should do this or you'll be so great at this, yes, listen to them 100%. We have to be open to it. I want you to sit back, slow down, and really envision yourself as that and truly ask yourself, would that life truly make me happy? To be able to do that, we have to be open to it, right? I'm not saying that we have to shut down every single thing that comes our way. I'm quite literally saying the opposite. Whenever people suggest something that you should do or that they think that you would be great at, truly take it in and visualize yourself doing that, right? But only you are going to know what that is actually going to be for you, right? I think that it's honestly so good to be open to new experiences and opportunities, even just people and just then bringing you different ideas and where they can see you being at, because it can also let you know what your potential is too, you know, because there's really people out there, guys, who see more potential in you than you can even see in yourself. And also vice versa, there's going to be people who see zero potential in you. And that's where your potential, your belief in yourself has to come through. It has to be harder. It has to be stronger than theirs. But all that being said, I think the fallout from going to being a collegiate athlete, competing in sports, to the not, it's so hard. You know, I think you even look at social media. You know, I had some of my friends, they started to get really, really good and high viewership on their social media towards the end of their collegiate careers. And as soon as they ended their sport, I mean, the fallout even on social media is huge. And I think it's so easy to say followers don't matter, likes don't matter, don't place your value, don't place your worth on followers, on social media, on all of this. But the reality of it is too, though, especially whenever you are a collegiate athlete, just with how accessible social media is nowadays, these athletes are getting millions of viewership, right? These athletes are getting thousands of engagement and people DMing them and emailing them and commenting on their posts, right? And in the moment, that feels good, right? Like, that makes you want to go harder. That makes you feel like, again, what you're doing is important. It places more value on what you are doing. But we also have to realize that the second that all of those thousands of viewers and engagement is not shown anymore, it's a hit. It is a hit to your ego. It is a hit to your reality. And yes, the followers and the likes and the engagement, it does not matter, but we can't ignore that it doesn't hurt though. Whenever you do see it, and then it goes from a complete 180 and you see nothing, right? Because it's basically, you have all of these people hiding behind a screen, right? And they're supporting you whenever you're doing something for them, basically, because you are basically entertaining them. At the end of the day, athletes are entertainers, right? Between college athletes, between professional athletes, they are there to entertain. Yes, they are there to compete. Yes, it's deeper for them than it most likely is for a lot of the fans, because the fans, it's just good fun. It's good entertainment. It's ways to bond with your family and with your friends. And to, honestly, it's a hobby for most of you guys to even just go and watch the games, right? But we have to think it's these athletes' livelihood, right? Like, their livelihood is to impress and to perform for you guys, for the sponsors, for your coaches, for their teammates, for your family, for the fans, for themselves. And with that, that we have so many gears. We have so many people hiding behind their screens, either showing support or showing hate, right? But either way, these athletes will see all of it in real time. And that can, and in the moment, it can feel so great, so powerful, or it can feel defeating if you're receiving a lot of hate. But whichever way it feels like, going from those highs of highs to seeing nothing and it just going stagnant, I think truthfully is harder to deal with and harder to process and feel than any of the other stuff. Because it's basically showing you that people don't give a fuck about you anymore. And that's hard to deal with. I think it comes down to you have to be able to come to terms with your own self-belief. You have to be able to come to terms that you are more than your sport. You are more than your engagement, than your performance, right? And I think it's so hard to place the same self-worth and to place the same value in what you're doing whenever you have 60,000 people following you and engaging in your stuff versus whenever you have 2,000 people doing it, right? Because that's a huge, huge drop-off, right? But you see that, and it sounds crazy, but you literally see that drop-off and that fall-off coming from people and fans. And it's crazy because then you ask yourself, what did I do for 50,000 people to not want to support me anymore? What did I do to have all of these people not want to engage in my posts and engage in and show support and love and all of that stuff? And that's what I think honestly hurts the most, because you're going to find them still viewing your stuff, but they can't even take 2 seconds to just like your page. And again, it seems stupid, it seems silly, but whenever you are a collegiate athlete and you see all of this praise and all this fame, whether it's coming from social media or coming from just the verbal recognition, right? You know, like you see and feel it after games, you have all these fans, you know, like all of these young girls and boys coming up to you wanting your autograph, and you have these parents coming up to you saying how much that you mean to their kids and how much that they just like appreciate what you're doing for them. And again, you feel on top of the world and you think that all of that momentum, which is going to carry you through the rest of your life, but truthfully, that momentum is going to go and you're going to get into the real world once sports is over. And that's whenever you're going to realize that your self-worth comes from nothing but yourself. I promise you that, because if we place our worth in social media, that's basically saying that our worth is going into likes and followers and engagement, right? And all of that can be stripped from you in a blink of an eye. Your worth, your self-worth, your self-value should come from something that no one else can take from you, right? So it shouldn't come from social media. It shouldn't come from your performance. It should come from those intangibles, right? It should come from who you are as a person, you know, how selfless you are, how driven you are, how confident you are, how just good you are, you know, just being yourself. At the end of the day, you are the only person who can put that emphasis and put that value onto yourself, because no one else will. And I think that being said, it's so hard to also find your identity and purpose after you have these unexpected life shifts, right? It's so hard because in the moment you put so much emphasis and value in what you're doing, and then you're going 100% at it, right? And then all of a sudden, it's just stripped away from you, whatever that may be. An example of this is whenever I was training in the PBF, that first month of training, I was on cloud 9, you guys. I literally was telling my friend, I was telling my family, I was like, I can do this for the rest of my life. Literally just wake up, play ball, get treatment, watch film, go to sleep. I can do that easy. And I literally, as longer and longer as that month went on, I was literally becoming a person who was living out that lifestyle, right? I couldn't see another life to live. I was so tunnel visioned that I thought that I had my life planned out for the next 20 years. And I kid you not, I was so set in stone and I was so confident in that life and how I was living that I wasn't even prepared. I wasn't even thinking that something could go wrong. And then it did. And it's always so funny too, whenever you had your mind made up and you had this vision and you're so invested in this vision that you can't see what might go wrong. You can't see the other possibilities. You can only see your own. It's just funny because typically whenever you're that tunnel vision, that's whenever the most stuff goes wrong. And that's whenever you get the most thrown off your feet. And best believe that's what happened with me. So I literally go from thinking I had an entire next 10 to 20 years planned out, like literally convinced, to literally not knowing what I was going to do the next day. That was whenever I found out that I was released. And I went back home and I basically was literally starting from square one. And the emotional grind that was, that week to month to year long process was for me, was so intense because I literally went from, I mean, guys, I felt like I was on top of the world. Like I had every single day planned out for the next 10 to 20 years because to me, what that looked like was what I was doing right then and there. And I couldn't even see the other possibilities that I could have been doing. So it's like I went from that high, so confident with what I was doing, so set, I was so happy, I had so much peace. And then from going to being the most stressed out I ever was, because I was at literally square one. I didn't know what I was going to do for my career. I didn't know what other visions I had. I didn't know what other interests I had. All I knew was volleyball. All I knew was my sport, right? I didn't even allow myself to expand my knowledge and to expand my interests and hobbies whenever I was playing to even be prepared and think that there would be something after the sport. And boy, did that reality hit me. Good heavens. I mean, I'm not even kidding you guys. It took me probably a full 2 months to like not be manic. Like one day I would wake up and I would be like, I'm gonna become a fashion model. And then one day I would wake up and be like, I'm gonna become a CEO. And then like I would wake up and be like, I'm gonna become a photographer. I'm gonna become an influencer. I'm gonna become a yoga instructor. I'm gonna like, I literally went from like a CEO to a yoga instructor to just doing lessons to like, it was ridiculous. But I had to do it because that was the first time in my life that I allowed myself to think that I could do something else besides volleyball, which that seems literally crazy now. But in the moment, that just goes to show how freaking tunnel visioned I was and thinking that the only talent, the only thing that I was good for on this earth was to play a sport. That's sad. That is literally sad. But that's just where I think we have to realize and we have to be aware of how much that we are placing our purpose and our identity into what we are doing and not who we are becoming. That is so hard to be able to distinguish the difference in what you are truly doing. Especially as a passionate person, you're going to be pouring your heart and soul and then some into what you're doing, right? But with that passion, you have to make sure it's not consuming you and taking away all of the other amazing factors about you, right? Because you are not just what you do. I really, really want us to understand that. You are not just what you do. You are so much more than that, right? I don't know. And I think we have to ask ourselves too, like, how do we even find our identity and purpose after these unexpected life events happen to us? And I think literally the only way is to, one, take it day by day, and two, chase the things that make you feel the most alive. And I say that not the things that create adrenaline that makes you avoid and just try to ignore all of the stress and things that you're feeling, but truly the things that put you in the flow state, right? The flow state is something that I've really been trying to go after, honestly. Because the flow state, from what I believe and know, is basically doing something where your mind is off. You're basically in autopilot. You aren't thinking, you're just doing. That is really my best advice. And I think what I honestly tried to focus on the most was, don't think, just go. Don't think, just do. The amount of times I tell myself this, even to this day, but especially during the time of that huge and hard and heavy transition period from going to being an athlete, from getting like a nobody. That transition is so hard because that's literally how it felt. I felt like if I was not playing a sport, I was nothing. I was not valuable. I could not add any value, that my voice didn't matter, that my post didn't matter. Like I literally, guys, whenever I thought about making this podcast, I literally wrote down and was thinking to myself that I couldn't make this podcast unless I was an athlete. Do you know how crazy that is? But that's literally how I thought. And it's just so crazy to me because now, I mean, it's been over a year now since that entire time. And I would never even think like that to this day. But I was just so in deep with that lifestyle and that mindset of just placing all of my value, all about who I was, into my sport. And that transition period was honestly the heaviest and the hardest time. But I just remember, because the more that I thought about it, the more that I would feel stuck, especially just because I'm the type of person where I am an intellectual. I love to think things through. I just love to analyze things too. Like I am an analyzer through and through, you guys. Right? And that goes for social settings, that goes for myself, for people, for conversations, for movies, for like literally everything. But with that though, it also can bite me in the ass because I would find myself, especially just in times that I couldn't understand it, right? Because that's also something, is that in the moment, I think it's so hard to truly understand what the fuck is going on. Because one, you've never seen it before. Two, you've never felt it before. And three, you don't know what's to come from it, right? But that's where I think we just have to trust ourselves, and we just have to trust that we're going to get through it. And once we're through it, we're at least going to get clarity about why the fuck we're going through this right now. Because it's not always going to be easy. And it sure as hell not always going to be linear. And it's not going to look like how you want it to look like. But it doesn't mean that we can't get through it. And it also does not mean that you are not valued throughout every single stage, every journey as well. But I just think, anyway, sorry, I got shot. But going back to the don't think and just do, don't think, just go, right? Whenever you think about things too much, you can stand in your way. I find myself doing that so much, even with this podcast, even with trying to post about my perspectives and my opinions and my views and just what I want to put out in the world and who I want to even be in the world, right? I find myself thinking about it more than I'm acting on it. And I'm telling you, if you are doing that, you are the number one thing that is getting in your way, because you can't see success without action. You can't see growth without action. You can't learn without action. You literally cannot get through this life without taking action. And yes, it is good to think things through. Yes, it is good to be aware of all of the possible outcomes and all of the opportunities that can come your way. But with that, though, at some point, you've got to draw the line and say, whatever is about to happen, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared. I'm going to get through it. And I know that I'm going to be myself throughout the entire way. So I literally just tell myself that every single day. Whenever it was time to start this podcast, whether it's now trying to post on TikTok and post on Instagram or going to work out or going to give my lessons or whatever it may be, if I find myself thinking about it for too much, I literally say pause, don't think, just do it. Don't think, just go. And I'm not even kidding you, the amount of opportunity that that has given me in such a short amount of time is insane. But it also just makes you think about how many opportunities I probably missed because I was thinking about it too much instead of acting on it. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you find yourself thinking about something, if you feel like you're in a dilemma or you just feel like you're stuck, literally just take one step forward. Just act on something, and I promise you, you are going to get clarity one way or another, right? Because even if you step in the wrong direction, there's going to be another opportunity for you to be able to pivot and go a different direction, right? Nothing in this life is permanent. Literally nothing. So if you are worried about going the wrong way, if you are worried about, oh, well, what if I post this TikTok and I get made fun of, or what if I post this and it only gets 10 likes, or what if people make fun of me, or what if I look embarrassing at the gym, or what if I fail, or what if I look stupid, or what if I sound stupid, or whatever it may be, if it does not feel like how you wanted it to, or if it does not look how you wanted it to, you can always change. And I think that how we handle rejection is make or break, right? If we handle rejection properly, that is going to make us one of the most resilient people that someone's ever going to see. Because I'm a firm believer that rejection is redirection, right? And I think we can all be so afraid of being rejected. And I think that that's what holds so many of us back, is because we're afraid of hearing the word no, or we are afraid that this group of people won't like us, or that they're going to say something mean, or that they're going to disagree with you, or this or that, or you're not going to get the job, or it's just not going to go well, or you're going to fail, whatever it may be. I think we're so afraid of seeing and feeling that rejection that we won't go after our dreams. And I'm telling you right now, as much as action can hold you back, the fear of rejection can hold you all back so much more too. If you go into a situation knowing that, yes, they may not like you, knowing that, yes, you may get rejected, that you may hear the word no, accepting that and also still choosing to go in there because you believe that who you are and what you have to say and what you're doing is more valuable than being rejected, that is, I promise you right now, that is what creates the most successful and the most powerful and the most resilient types of people. And resilient people are the most successful, because it doesn't matter what obstacles they face, it doesn't matter how many no's they hear, they are going to keep taking a step forward until they hear the word yes, right? Because you're going to hear 9 no's before you hear 1 yes. But the difference is that 1 yes is going to change your life versus, and I think that that's also what's so important, is that we have to make the decision. We have to make the choice. Are we going to let those 9 no's dictate our life, or are we going to let that 1 yes dictate our life? And I think it all just goes back to what you hold on to and what you believe. And like I said, if you go into a situation expecting to be rejected, if you go into the situation expecting to hear the word no, or expecting people to not like you, they are not going to like you, okay? But if you go into a situation just believing in who you are and believing in what you're doing, I promise you that is going to be more powerful, and that is going to override the fear of rejection. And even if those people do make me comments about you or say no or try to reject you, that is just going to put you more in line with the people who are going to say yes to you. And that's also what I think that we just need to realize, is that if we hear the word no, or if we get rejected, again, take that as redirection. It's not, they are not rejecting you because, look at it this way, they are not rejecting you because what you're doing is not valuable, or because what you're doing is less than or is not good enough. They are rejecting you because either they don't get it, they don't understand it, or your talents and your beliefs and your values are not going to be useful for them. They are going to be used so much better, in such a better way, in a different environment, right? So I think that we should just hold on to the people and the environments who accept us, but also not be afraid of the environments and the people who reject us, okay? Because we have to face that rejection to even see the redirection. Because we are not going to get it right the first time, you guys. I promise you guys that right now. You're going to take probably 5 steps forward, and 3 of those steps might be wrong, okay? But we have to be open to learn. We have to be open to taking the risk. So just truly try to believe. I mean, I try to tell myself this every single day, that if you are truly chasing something that is worth it and that is valuable, you are going to feel rejection. You are going to hear the word no. You are going to see hate and see people talk about you no matter what. But that does not take away the value and the worth of what you are doing. It does not mean that you are not good enough. It does not mean that what you are saying is not good enough, or that it is not impacting certain people, right? It just means that It's not for them, and that is okay, you guys. But I just want you all to stay confident and stay resilient, and literally don't think, just do. Don't think, just go. Do not be the one to hold yourself back, okay? Because I promise you, once you let go of holding yourself back, there is no one in this world who can step in your way. I promise you that. Literally. And that is honestly one of the most liberating feelings, because once you accept that it doesn't matter what happens, that you are prepared for it and that you are going to get through it, you can go and attack every single opportunity and every single situation that comes your way. And also go into it with an open mind, with courage, and with confidence. And if you go into every single situation with those three things, you are going to come out of that feeling so much better in whatever way that looks like. All that being said, just know that, especially post-grad, especially your post-athletic era, challenges are going to come. You're going to feel a drop-off. You're going to feel like maybe what you're doing isn't as important, or that people aren't valuing you or aren't paying attention to you anymore. It's okay. It's okay. And honestly, if they aren't watching you now, if they aren't supporting you, give them a reason to. Give them a reason to. Make yourself so valuable. Make yourself so known. Make yourself so important that the people who decided to only support you by your performance are second guessing that. All that being said, especially just with this time right now, challenges are going to come, adversity is going to come, and you might feel lost. You may feel like you don't know which way to go. You may feel like you don't have a purpose, or that you don't know who you are, especially once that post-college, that post-athletic era hits. It's literally the biggest wake-up call of all time, because you are stripped from your titles. You are stripped from all the things in your college era, in your athletic era, the things that you latched onto, your identity, they're all stripped away from you, right? All of that momentum was just stripped away from you. So use this time to figure out who the fuck you are. Cause I promise you, though, like, you spend this time focusing more on the people who only place value in who you were whenever you were performing and who you were with your title, you are just gonna become one of those people. But if you use this time to sit back and acknowledge and reflect about how you attach your identity and your purpose into what you're doing and not who you were, that is going to let you figure out who the fuck you actually are. Because I promise you, who you are is not your title. Who you are is not your sport. Who you are is not any of that. Who you are the qualities and values and the beliefs that you embody. Those three things are who you are. So if you feel lost, take this time to slow down and figure out your values, your beliefs, and just what you want in this world, okay? Figure out the things that no one else can take away from you. If you do that, you're going to become unstoppable, okay? Things like your title, things like your stats, things like your likes and your followers, all of those things people can take away from you, right? But you know what people can't take away from you? Your values and your beliefs. Those things, no one can take away from you. So slow down, reflect, lock down those things to figure out who you are. And then all that you need to do after that is just go out into the world and embody it. And I promise you, the right things are gonna come your way. Trust it. Thank y'all so much for following along, staying patient, and staying with me. And all that being said, just keep believing in yourselves, you guys. Keep believing in who the fuck you guys are, because there's one of you guys on this earth. That's also what I think that we tend to forget, is that it's so easy to try to be like so many other people in this world and try to follow so many other people's beliefs and values and all of this stuff. But the moment that you actually take the time to make your own values, to come up with your own beliefs, that is whenever you are going to feel the most sure of yourself. That is whenever, it doesn't matter what situation you're in, it doesn't matter what adversity you hit, you know yourself enough to know that you're going to be fine, that It's just a feeling that honestly I can't really articulate, but it just is there because I've been on the receiving end, or I've been on the opposite end of it, where I had no idea who I was. I was just waking up every single day, just going through the motions and just doing what everyone else around me was doing, right? Like I was doing their hobbies. I was doing their routine. I was not living a life that was for me. I was not living a life that was even mine. And that was the difference, because I did not feel like the life I was living was mine. And that's where I feel like you can feel so liberated once you truly decide who you are. Because once you decide who you are, that is going to dictate the type of life that you live. And that is whenever you're going to feel the most peace in the life that you are living, because you know that your lifestyle, that your routine, that just the person that you are living your life is exactly who you are and who you are meant to be. Keep chasing after you guys. Have a great week. Have a great rest of your all Sunday. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. I hope y'all have a great week, a great rest of your all Sunday. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And I see y'all next Sunday on Simply You. Be here, be real, be you with Carly Basham. Thanks, guys. Bye.